HarperCollins presents The Golden Rendezvous by Alistair MacLean. Read by Kieran Sword. Chapter 1. Tuesday, noon to 5 p.m. My shirt was no longer a shirt, but just a limp and sticky rag soaked with sweat. My feet ached from the fierce heat of the steel deck plates. My forehead, under the peaked white cap, ached from the ever-increasing constriction of the leather band that made scalping only a matter of time. My eyes ached from the steely glitter of reflected sunlight from metal, water and whitewashed harbour buildings. And my throat ached from pure thirst. I was acutely unhappy. I was unhappy. The crew were unhappy. The passengers were unhappy. Captain Bullen was unhappy. And this last made me doubly unhappy, because when things went wrong with Captain Bullen, he invariably took it out on his chief officer. I was his chief officer. I was bending over the rail, listening to the creak of wire and wood, and watching our after jumbo derrick take the strain as it lifted a particularly large crate from the quayside, when a hand touched my arm. Captain Bullen again, I thought drearily, and then I realized that whatever the captain's caprices, wearing Chanel No. 5 wasn't one of them. This would be Miss Beresford. And it was. In addition to the Chanel, she was wearing a white silk dress, and that quizzical, half-amused smile that made most of the other officers turn mental cartwheels and handsprings, but served only to irritate me. I have my weaknesses. But tall, cool, sophisticated and worldly young women, with a slightly malicious sense of humour, is not one of them.
"Good afternoon, Mr. First Officer," she said sweetly.
She had a soft, musical voice, with hardly a hint of superiority or condescension when talking to the lower orders, like myself.
"We've been wondering where you were. You are not usually an absentee at aperitif time."
"I know, Miss Beresford. I'm sorry." What she said was true enough. What she didn't know was that I turned up for aperitifs with the passengers, more or less at the point of a gun. Standing company orders stated that it was as much a part of the ship's officers' duties to entertain the passengers as to sail the ship, and as Captain Bullen loathed all passengers with a fierce and total loathing, he saw to it that most of the entertaining fell to me. I nodded at the big crate, now hovering over the hatchway of Number 5 hold, then at the piled-up crates on the quayside. "I'm afraid I have work to do. 4 or 5 hours, at least. Can't even manage lunch today. Far less an aperitif."
"Not Miss Beresford. Susan."
It was as if she had heard only my first few words.
"How often do I have to ask you?"
"Until we reach New York," I said to myself. "And even then it will be no use." Aloud, I said, smiling, "You mustn't make things difficult for me. Regulations require that we treat all passengers with courtesy, consideration, and respect."
"You're hopeless," she laughed.
I was too tiny a pebble to cause even a ripple in her smiling pool of self-complacency.
"And no lunch? You poor man. I thought you were looking pretty glum as I came along."
She glanced at the winch driver, then at the seaman manhandling the suspended crate into position on the floor of the hold.
"Your men don't seem too pleased at the prospect either. They are a morose-looking lot."
I eyed them briefly. They were a morose-looking lot. "Oh, they'll be spelled for food, all right. It's just that they have their own private worries. It must be about 110 down in that hold there. And it's an almost unwritten law that white crews should not work in the afternoons in the tropics. Besides, they're all still brooding darkly over the losses they've suffered. Don't forget that it's less than 72 hours since they had that brush with the customs down in Jamaica." Brush, I thought, was good. In what might very accurately be described as one fell swoop, the customs had confiscated from about 40 crew members no fewer than 25,000 cigarettes and over 200 bottles of hard liquor that should have been placed on the ship's bond before arrival in Jamaican waters. That the liquor had not been placed in bond was understandable enough, as the crew were expressly forbidden.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?